happy to be here with you, so that's no worries.
Yeah, always good to have you on. I like your hair, by the way. Have you changed the color? Have you added a bit of pink?
Yeah, added pink, yes.
When did that happen? Was that like a recent flare that you put on?
When the things are overwhelming, so there is a way to get the emotions out. And for me, it's to do something with my hair or with my nails. So this is like arcane nails, if anyone knows.
Amazing series. One of the best things I've seen, like, ever, I would say. It's so, so good.
Yeah, but people don't know it took 6 years. So people, like, really? It took 6 years to create the first season. So...
Yeah, we can't wait for 6 years for the next season. Hopefully they've already got like the rhythm to create the artwork. They have to know that this is a massive hit and they've got to get series two out immediately. What a spectacular series that was. We're talking about Arcane, folks. If you're on Netflix and you haven't seen Arcane, I insist you watch it because it is absolutely the best thing I've ever seen. It is really like, forget about what style or category of series. This thing was just executed perfectly. Quite adult. It's obviously a cartoon, but it's quite adult themes, lots of disturbing scenes, etc. But truly, truly marvelous. So do check that out. Anyway, we're live, everybody. We're live on Brain Food Live on Air, bringing it to you every Friday like we always do. We never miss a beat. And today we're very, very excited because this is actually like so much demand for this show. I couldn't believe it. We had 500 people, 500, like 60 people register. I can see already 170 people have shown up live, and that's not counting the hundreds more people that are going to be watching this in different channels on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and all those kinds of places. So we're talking about how to source without LinkedIn. We've got a live experiment from two folks that actually tried this, and we're going to just throw out some ideas as to how do we actually get on with this thing. The recent research I did on how recruiters behave online is that we are very, very much on LinkedIn daily on it. 80% of all people surveyed, something like 2,500 responses of recruiters, 81% had a LinkedIn recruiter license. So you can imagine if that's the case, we're going to just go to that all the time. What happens if the license goes or the price goes up and your boss says, we're not spending this anymore, or for whatever reason, you get booted off LinkedIn and you have to try to do something else? We're going to talk about this today. So if you're interested in finding out more about candidate sourcing techniques outside of using LinkedIn, this is the right show for you. Anyway, let's do some quick sound checks just to make sure everyone can hear me okay. So everyone on Crowdcast, all 180 of you, can you hear me okay? Just let me know on the chat stream whether that's the audio is fine, the video is okay also. We are going live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and on Twitter, I believe. So if you can see me on those places, give me some sort of like or comment to say the audio is fine. Particularly LinkedIn, you've got a smiley face now. It's a new emoji everyone's got. Give me the smiley face emoji. I want to see that. It's like, for some reason, they've painted it blue rather than yellow. But it kind of looks like a kind of melancholic view of a smiley. But there you go. Okay, we've got a bunch of people saying they came here. Okay. Right, quick word to our sponsors. Folks, we cannot do this show without support from our sponsors. Today's sponsor is one of our strongest kind of supporters of Brain Food. It is Daxtra, daxtra.com. If you are a business that has a lot of candidate data you're not using because basically it's not been refreshed or not updated or whatever, and you need it kind of basically brought back to life again, use a product like Daxtra and it will basically update and reinvigorate all of that moribund data that you have. If you're a recruitment company, recruitment agency, or any kind of mature TA or function, I guarantee you within your ATS, 80% of data in there is already out of date. You're not using it and you need to refresh it. You can find candidates in that ATS. So use something like Daxtra, daxtra.com. They're going to help you do that. I'm going to share the link in the chat stream and you can go check it out. Okay, so let's welcome our co-host, number one, back with Alla Pavlova. Alla, great to see you on the show again. How have you been?
Yeah, great to be back, to be honest. All good. Summer is busy, even looking into the news like layoffs and things are happening. So still looks like summer is going to be busy.
Still, that's good to know. Did you see the results of my survey I did yesterday?
The one for LinkedIn?
The other one, which is, what is your hiring posture right now? So I might share the screen on this. So folks, I basically said, right, everyone's talking about recession. It could be there. It could be terrible. It could be whatnot. We see the layoffs. But what are we seeing as recruiters? And I realized that I've got like 30,000 recruiters on LinkedIn. Like almost all of my connections are recruiters. So I thought, right, if someone should do, it's got to be me to do this. So I asked the question, right, you're a recruiter. What is your current hiring posture for your current business, right? Four options. Option number one, are you hiring for growth? In other words, new jobs, new people, are you hiring to grow your business? Option two, are you hiring to replace? In other words, no more growth, but if people leave, you're going to replace them. Option number three, are you a hiring freeze? There's no hiring. People leave, they leave. Or on option four, are you laying people off? So far, let's see how many people have actually done this. I'm going to share the screen real quick, actually, because that way people can see. Let me make sure I click away some of my terrible things firstly. You just never know, do you?
I bet yeah. Food, you're choosing what you're gonna eat.
No, I'm waiting for the day that I share something that's absolutely horrendous, and like I'll have to make a joke that that's actually okay. So here's the thing, here we go, check it out. You see the results?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think of that, folks? Hiring for growth, 73% of all people who responded, of which is nearly 1,500 people have responded. Remember, most of these are recruiters. They're still saying hiring for growth. So that tells me that all of the stuff that I've been talking about, which is I've been generally being pretty much, I think it's all depressing. Maybe that's actually not accurate. Maybe I've been... how do I stop sharing here? Close video? That's not right, is it?
You're like in a 100 dimensions right now.
I know. Sorry for this experience, folks. I'm going to try and stop sharing, but I don't know how to do it. Okay, shit. I'm just going to click off this. Yeah, that's it. Christ, that's not obvious. Crowdcast, come on. Stop sharing button. Where's that? do you know what I mean? All right. Anyway, it looks like we are like the stuff happening, right? Obviously, there's big tech layoffs, Netflix today, 300 more people or whatnot, but there is stuff going on. So, you know, I'm going to do that, run that post, exactly the same post in 4 weeks' time, and I'm going to compare to see what the ratios are. But right now, 73% of all recruiter surveys, 1,500 recruiters so far, saying they're hiring for growth. So here we go. Anyway, listen, let's get on with it, Ala. Did you read the newsletter last week? If you did, what was interesting, my dear?
Sure, sure. So how many I can share? Because it was very hard to pick.
Okay, why don't we just share like three? Okay. I think that would be good, yeah.
Okay. So let me share the link in the chat. It is the first one. So here you go. Yeah, it's quite big links, yeah. So this is the one about making it easier to ask for help. Working in a very, very multicultural environment where people asking for help very differently and not asking for it when they actually need it, in a hybrid environment, in a remote environment, actually got me thinking. This article got me thinking over, like, am I recognizing if anyone need help? Am I asking for help when I need it? So that actually was very refreshing. So you're not expecting to have this kind of, you know, around all this metrics, data, sourcing, etc. So I really recommend to read it.
It was the last thing I put on the newsletter, but I think it might have been the most important one. I think it's so important because these days, your ability to acquire information from your network is a key part of your capability as a recruiter, in my opinion. You can't have all the solutions in your own head. It's in your network. The network intelligence is there, and your ability to get people to help you is going to be critical to your own capability to deliver to your business. And this lady here, Jane Hsu, she wrote a brilliant blog post on basically how to ask for help. And how to ask for help in such a manner that people actually are motivated to do so. Because I think it's clearly a skill, as she's described. It's something we should train and actually get better at. Not only kind of the willingness to do so, but the technical Like, how do you phrase a question in order to get help? And you see that often in the Facebook group sometimes and the Brain Food online community, where people ask for a question for help and they haven't given enough context and no one helps. Because it's like, yeah, we don't know how to help. So this post basically puts together, hey, if you want to ask for help in this context, this is the sort of structure you want to use. Super useful. Go and check it out. It's in the chat stream. Okay, give us another one, Ala.
Yeah, another one. So I'm a huge fan of everything that is about the learning, how our brains are working. So, and I picked this one because it's like just being exposed to the new things makes people ready to learn. So basically knowing that how your brains function. So to come up with new ideas, you constantly need to feed your brains and your eyes with a different content, with different information, and expose yourself to the different type of even work and routine. For example, last week I was at Berlin in the conference for software engineers. What I was doing there, I was really learning a lot. So what are the tools they're using? I maybe understood, like, I don't know, I will be optimistic, like 15%. But to be honest, I couldn't stop writing down the ideas that I have in my mind how to improve my work just by looking at stuff. So, yeah, so I really recommend it.
It's a really good bit of research, this, wasn't it? It's the basic idea that simply by being exposed to new things, you basically shock your brain into being prepared to learn. It's kind of like the cold shower philosophy of learning. So you know how the cold shower these days, I don't know whether you take cold showers, Ala, or you don't do this. For some reason I thought maybe you do. But I know some people that do, right? And apparently the reason to do this is so that your immune system gets shocked by this horrible cold shower and it responds because it's suddenly, something's happening. I've got to keep my body warm and you've got to get re-energized. And it triggers something. It helps your immune system and all that stuff. This is kind of research for the new or novel things that help your brain train. It reminds me very much of this. It's almost like you have to shock your brain, surprise yourself all the time, so your brain is always prepared to learn new things. If you're ever in a Wim Hof of learning, quite right, Steve. If you're kind of find yourself in a routine, which I think recruiting can sometimes be very routine, if you've got your own methods, your own kind of solutions or whatever, whatnot, then you might actually have trained your brain the other way, which is to not learn, you know, to repel new information. So you should oftentimes just like shock yourself with new stuff. It's like just embrace new experiences. And as a manager, I wonder whether it's maybe even your one of the things you could do is to kind of constantly create situations for your team when they will definitely encounter new things, like deliberately engineer surprises so that their brains are always active and thinking rather than, you know, crack on, lads. It's like give them surprises, take them out of their context, take them out of their comfort zone, and that hopefully will just train that brain and keep it plastic. So yeah, really good post, and well worth a really important lesson to learn. Okay, one more, Ala.
The last one. So it's a little bit less related to the sourcing and recruitment, but interesting. I don't know how many of you listening music on Spotify in terms of the music that is created by computers, AI music. And I was really actually even going at the concert of Hatsune Miku. And this is the absolutely made, made up character with its own music, with its own style and dancing, etc. So it is very, I see you smiling.
No, I think this is great. I think this is great. I didn't realize you were personally into it, but I see you've shared that post, which is all about these a new type of work. I looked at it from a lens of a new type of work where there is a human being behind the avatar, but the consumer only ever sees the digital avatar. So it's almost like a puppeteer back in the day where you have a Punch and Judy kind of thing. And people see the characters in the front and they enjoy the characters, but you don't see what's happening in the back. And it's actually a person doing work. And I'm thinking, you know what? Is this a potential future of work for somebody? Obviously, it is. People are actually making money and doing this thing. So, you know, get good at being an avatar. It's like it's a potential avenue for people.
Exactly. Your idol is someone digital, someone who is not existent. And we also did with friends some experiments. We were listening to music that was created by people and the music that was created by AI. And, you know, surprise, surprise, AI really creates amazing music. Yeah. And then you're like thinking, that's interesting, a lot of things. It's a lot of different jobs you can find if you're introverted, if you're into digital part, and if you don't want to put your face on camera, because I think that's what we've been doing during Corona, like constantly putting our face there. Maybe you would like to create a character that will represent you everywhere. So it's just a fun article to read and to see how hard work it is actually to keep the YouTube channel and this kind of thing.
Yeah, do check it out. I've just Alice just shared it in chat stream. On this note, by the way, you know, you just mentioned introvert versus extrovert. I think that having an avatar is a third facet of whether you're introverted or extroverted or not. So in other words, I have really struggled to interact with people as an avatar in the metaverse. Right. So I'm pretty comfortable on video generally because I've just done it so many times. In person, I think I'm pretty comfortable as well, so I've done it so many times. But as an avatar, for some reason, I'm kind of terrified. Like the times which I've encountered people that I didn't know, I've kind of ran away more times than I've actually, like I physically ran away or digitally ran away. I've literally removed myself from that situation because I didn't feel comfortable having a conversation with somebody. So I think I'm super introverted on the metaverse.
Interesting.
Maybe it works differently. It's again skills that you need to develop. It's a new facet, it's a new type of skill, and that should mean a new avenue of work for a bunch of people. So yeah, great stuff. Anyway, folks, sign up to the newsletter if you haven't already done so. Every week that comes out on Sunday, it's got lots of juicy content in there. Hopefully that will give you a flavor of what you can expect every week. Okay, let's get on with the topic, Ala. A reason why you're co-host today, by the way, is because I know you have been super creative in recruiting people outside of LinkedIn in any case, because oftentimes that's necessary, particularly when you're thinking about the people that you're recruiting now, like graphic artists and like designers and stuff. Typically, they don't live in a place like LinkedIn. So I know you've thought about this yourself, but have you ever gone through the same experiment that Balash and Ildiko have done, which is like literally stop yourself from using LinkedIn for a set period, say, actually, I'm going to give 7 days and never switch it on. Have you done this experiment before?
It came naturally to me when I have to switch the market. So when I started to work with China, Singapore. Right, yeah. So, I mean, they're not using LinkedIn at all. So, and now it's even banned. So it's came naturally that's okay. How I can diversify? Where are the places where developers are? Because there are so many surveys that are done with developers where they ask like, hey, are you using LinkedIn? Or if not, so what are you using? And they're saying that they use anything else except LinkedIn. And so that's actually got me thinking, why am I actually spending any time there? And I spent some time, and I personally think, please challenge me on this one, that you can exhaust the search in 2 weeks time. It's just in 2 weeks, if you're searching for a specific role, you will be done. And I'm not sure what else you're doing there. And that's why going outside to find a lot of different profiles who more likely going to respond to you, especially in the communities and the groups like, you know, Slack, on Discord, anywhere. So, yeah, I don't hate LinkedIn. Don't get me wrong. It's just I feel like to put all the risks, all my, you know, strategy in one place is just not smart. So by exploring and getting more resources, analyzing them, that's where I see that I should be spending energy.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So there's two things that's worth thinking about here. Number one, your target audience may not be on LinkedIn. So even though we're on it all the time, it's pretty much a solipsistic position to say, because we're in it, everyone else is in it. Not the case. Many, many people are not in it. And that not only developers, by the way, you're looking at nurses, teachers, you know, all those types of people that are not sitting in front of a computer every day. They're not on this thing. And even sort of those pockets of industry that you might expect to have a profile there, they're not active on the platform because, again, normal people don't go on to LinkedIn. You know, recruiters are not normal people. Salespeople and recruiters are always on it. we're not normal. Everyone else is basically getting on with their day elsewhere. So where do you find that? Military, quite right, Kate. Okay, and the second thing you mentioned was you got to kind of think about this and then calculate how much effort you put into LinkedIn. So don't ignore it. But if you're thinking, you know what, generally speaking, my candidate population is not active on this platform, I can't be spending more than 10% of my time here. Because if you're spending 20, 30, 40% of your time on it, guess what? There's a finite number of people that you can go through. You can just simply keep sort of scrolling through the same group, and you're not going to be finding any additional candidates. So I think two are very important things to think about. Anyway, let's bring on our guest to the show. Let's have a four-way chat on this. I'll be interested to hear more about this experiment. I'll bring Balazs and Ildikó on now, and they can tell us all about it. Quite excited to hear about how this came about. So I'll let Balazs tell the story. Here we go. By the way, folks, if you're interested in coming onto the show, I'm going to ask everyone at some point to be able to think of, you know, what is your technique to find candidates outside of LinkedIn? What are the tools? What are the communities you're in? I'm going to ask you to share that information. Hopefully we can come up with, you know, some sort of shared document at some point that would be super useful for us to use. Okay, here are our friends. Hello. Hello, you two.
Hi.
Hello.
So Balazs, really good to see you. And I believe, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it Ildikó? How do I pronounce this?
Yes,
it
is correct. Call me Ildi.
Okay. Ildi, I will do that if that's okay. So let's introduce ourselves here. Ildi, why don't you go first? Who are you and what it is you do?
Thank you. And I'm really happy to be here. I'm an IT sourcer, and actually I'm a really young professional because I have only 2 years of experience in this whole industry. But I work at Qualisoft, which is an IT company. So I usually source for the IT market.
Fantastic. Welcome to the show, Ildi. And it's great actually to get people that are early on in their recruiting career. Sometimes I just remember, was it last week? Everyone's like so old. It was like, fuck. Like we're just literally the wrong cohort. We need to be much more inclusive. So you're very welcome on the show. Okay, Balazs, most people know who you are already, but for the people who don't, quickly introduce yourself. Who are you? What is you do?
Okay, thank you, Hong, and hello, Ella. Hello, everyone. My name is Balazs. I'm a sourcing consultant or leader, and I run my own little sourcing advisory, and we help companies actually source better. So we help them evolve their sourcing capability, we train them, we help them build structures, implement technologies, whatsoever. So yes, I am also young. I'm young at heart. but I've got like almost 20 years of experience. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, actually.
Great to have you on the show, Balazs. I'm going to start with you, Balazs, on this, because I think it was one of your posts that started this conversation. I was really like super impressed by hearing this story. So I wonder whether you and Ildi actually can together talk to us about how this thing emerged. Like, what is the context? What actually happened? And, you know, what did you learn?
Okay, so let me start, and Ildi, then you can jump in and you can correct me if I, you know, if I don't remember correctly anymore the details. But the thing is that, so we are working with Qualisoft, and, you know, part of this collaboration was that we were training the recruiting team about sourcing, right? So we have a sourcing masterclass, and I just realized that you guys see my selfie thing, so let me take it off. Hopefully I will see you. Now, so we were training them, you know, so we were running the sourcing masterclass. And you know what is really interesting when it comes to training? That, you know, one thing is the level of content that you share and the amount of new knowledge and whatsoever. But there's an even more important point in training is that how much new knowledge and how much behavior change that the recruiter will be able to conduct. And that's the primary point, because it's easy to show people how to find an email address on GitHub, but it's difficult to convince the recruiter to change the way how they always recruit and to really step out of their comfort zone and, you know, just to change the process they are practicing. And we had a long sourcing masterclass with Qualisoft that was running for months, actually. It was really detailed. And there was a moment when I was like, when, you know, we reached a certain moment when I felt like a little resistance in the team. And it was like, oh, you know, we don't want to, no. Yes, I know we can also source on Facebook, but who gives a fuck about, you know, like it was a little bit like that, you know, like it's just a waste of time, you know, whatever. Now, Ildi is she's a brilliant sorcerer. So she's a genius. I have to say it's super, super aloud. And we had a great fight, I can tell you. And she was like, oh, and I was like, oh, and, you know, and we went for a little fight. There was a cognitive fight, right? Don't get me wrong, an intelligent fight. And at the end of the fight, she said, you know what? Fuck you. I will try it. And she said, you know what? Let me try it. But if I fail, then you fail as a trainer, as a sourcing guru. But, you know, if I succeed, well, then I succeed. And she said, you know what? I will use everything that we learned and I will see if I can succeed without LinkedIn for a week or not. And honestly, Hung, I mean...
I love this. Because sometimes sourcing trainers can get a little bit carried away with all of these cool cool techniques, and it's like, oh yeah, if you did this, it will just magically create this output, and it's amazing. But like, how practical is it? Like, how are you actually going to get anybody, right? So Ildi, I love the fact you said, okay, fine, let's put it to the test. You know, let's apply the training into production. Let's see whether actually any candidates emerge from this.
Yeah, and actually it was a bit hard to me because, you know, there is a blocking mindset in every changing process when you just don't want to accept the new thing and you are thinking, I don't know if it's work or not. And I also had some fear if I can get that much placement I had before. So I was, I was a bit shocked about this lots of new things Balázs taught me. So. But when we had this conversation, that was just the point when I realized I am doing things. And, you know, I'm just such an open-minded person. I'm at least trying to be. So I was like, why am I doing this with Balázs? So I was like, okay, let's try it and let's see what is happening. And if it's work, I will implement these tools to my work. So.
And I think it's a really important point, if I can make a comment, is that most recruiters should take from this discussion is that you have to try out things. I mean, I understand the workload pressure. I understand that, you know, we all have to make placements. I get it. I get it that we all have bosses, you know. We either have to make revenue or we have to, you know, like make numbers. But sometimes you have to stop and try out new things because this is the only way how we can, you know, progress, right? How we can evolve.
It's also the only way to get competitive advantage. I remember this is something that Glenn Cathy talks about a lot. It's like, okay, you can get super efficient at this, but guess what? Every other recruiter is doing the same thing. So there is therefore no competitive advantage. And not only this, but you're more than likely addressing exactly the same person in exactly the same place. So it gets a very noisy experience for that person. We all know what the ideal candidate is in a high demand type market. It's basically someone who hasn't been identified by another recruiter. Like they haven't been contacted because they're not visible in the places that most recruiters look at. So you have to take time out and think, you know what? What is the best way to attack this rather than the things that you used to? Okay, so how did you set the experiment up? So the idea was, okay, let's not use LinkedIn. Like how did you cheat, Ildi? Like how did you make sure?
No, actually, I was like that. I really want to force myself to not using LinkedIn somehow and just use that tool. So yeah, I just install everything Balázs said to me and I don't know. I just didn't cheat anything. So.
Take us through this. What kind of roles did you use to experiment? Maybe that's a good way to start. So were they like real kind of positions you were looking to recruit?
Yes, I recruit for full stack and Java backend developers in that week. And I used kind of everything from GitHub, Google X-Ray and Facebook also. And it's really interesting things because I could find people on Facebook, but it was not the best way to reach them. So yeah, that was the position I sourced for and yeah, the main platforms.
No, this is interesting here. Go ahead, Balázs.
Yeah. So just to, you know, like make it clear. So Ildi was using, you know, like platforms like GitHub, Stack, Facebook, web searches, maybe you even try Fire Wonk, you know, for Twitter,
yes.
Instagram, right? So, but yeah. just to manage everyone's excitement. So he was x-raying LinkedIn. He was using LinkedIn data, but not with LinkedIn, but x-raying LinkedIn. So the whole point was that, can I step away from using LinkedIn, you know, as a system? Because, yep. you know, because we are so much stuck to that one. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what is really important that the number one experience is that what the recruiter has to leave through is that, yes, you can find candidate data on somewhere else as well than LinkedIn. And you know, there's a really interesting point. I was just talking to a recruiter yesterday, and she said that when you approach a candidate on GitHub and you don't know whether they have the experience with the full stack that I need, like, how do you really talk to them? And you know, Hong, it was so interesting because I told her that, you know, it's interesting because in the time when I joined recruiting, we didn't even have LinkedIn. So we didn't even see the profile, the background of these people. We had phone sourcing. You know, I had to phone in and to say, hey, my name is Michael Jackson, and my neighbor's cat just jumps through the fence and, you know, whatever. She's like, my, whatever. And you just grab the name from a company with a person, like a name and a title and a phone number, and that's it. And then you call them. Isn't that interesting that, you know, we are coming from an industry where we were able to talk to a person even just having their title and nothing more? And now today, when we see a GitHub profile, we are still scared whether that person will really fit all of the boxes on the job spec. I mean, isn't that crazy, really?
Well, I think what's happened with LinkedIn, and I'd go back to Alan's initial point where, you know, you can't hate on LinkedIn because it is so revolutionary in terms of, and the people who basically were recruiting before LinkedIn arrived do know this. So oldies like me and you, Balash, remember pre-LinkedIn days. And it was exactly this. You're like paper CVs, you were scrapping for any bits of information that might tell you this person's a legitimate candidate. You know? that business card was like gold dust because you'd have contact data, you'd have everything there, and you could work out what this person is. It was a source for you. But LinkedIn basically, I wouldn't say de-skilled recruiting, but it just democratized it, made it easier to find people. People wanted to be found initially there, so it became a thing that we basically all use, and it's still super useful for a lot of those reasons. But it may mean that we've neglected the development of the searching mindset and the mindset or the muscle of it, if you like. That, you know, is a reason why people like you are so valuable, Balash, because you're providing that impetus to go ahead and reinvigorate it. What kind of training support were you giving Ildi for this approach, Balash? Or was it just like, okay, go ahead and do your thing? Or was there particular lessons that you had trained that you thought, let's apply this particular lesson?
So, yeah, I mean, like the team, you know, was going through our sourcing masterclass, which is a really detailed sourcing training. You know, we talk about, I think, every aspect of most of the aspect of sourcing, really, you know, not just search, but like, you know, like all the platforms, channels, whatsoever. What I would like to say is that what was brilliant, I think, you know, with this whole experiment, that Ildi had to go through every typical challenging checkpoint. You know, can I find people outside of LinkedIn? Yes, no. How can I connect the dots? You know, referring to Bill Borman's recent Facebook post, you know, like, how can I connect the dots? How can I connect the dots in a way that I have someone from GitHub, but maybe that person has already applied to our ATS. Maybe we have him, you know, in the ATS. We just didn't find him in the ATS because ATS systems are crap. It's difficult to find someone in the ATS. So, you know, it's to cross-reference. Okay, so that was step one. And then step two, okay, now I have to connect with these people, but I don't have an email. Then what, you know? And that's a really important point because that goes actually to the really natural, you know, realization that, well, I need to find an email address to them. You know, like, guess what? If you don't have email, then you can send an email. And Ildi, jump in because I don't want to take because this is your story, you know, like I was just training you. So, you know, the easy part was on me. The difficult part was on you.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, yes, LinkedIn is a very good tool to find people, but it's not always the best tool to reach them because, as you said, there is such a huge noise for them. So I try to find email addresses instead of just doing emails. So, yes, and my experience was 80% of the cases I found an email address and I used emailing instead of the LinkedIn email messages. So So that's
how do you find the email addresses, Ildi? Like, that's something that maybe developers sometimes hide this, and you know, it's not so easy.
They are trying to hide, but they cannot. Yeah, most of the times on GitHub, I also use the Octoager. I saw Ala your comment, the Octoager and the GitHub .patch technique. You know, that was the most useful thing I ever seen.
So does this work? Can you explain it to me? Like, it's been so long since I've actually done this, so I have no clue what all that means.
Yeah, if you just find a commit on GitHub what that developer did, you just go through the URL link, and in the end of the URL, you just type .patch, and the email address will be there.
Oh, right. So that's just basically you're manipulating the URL, right? You're just changing the URL, yes. And that creates. Is this widely known? But Balash, you're nodding your head. This is obvious? I have no clue.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's obvious. So, okay. Yeah. You know what is interesting though is that what I didn't know for a long time, that I don't know, Ala, if you have realized this one, but for a long time I thought that every person on GitHub, you know, they shared one email address. So, you know, every commit would come with the same email address, you know, with a dot patch trick. However, when you take the same person and you check their various commits, even more so commits from various years, then you will be able to actually, you know, reconstruct their entire email address, you know, history. And you will be able to see, you know, all sorts of their, you know, private emails. So this is sort of like, for me, for instance, that was new. It was like, huh, look at that. That's possible. Now, let me highlight a point. Hold on. So Ildi said 80% of the time she was able to find an email address. And she was not using, you know, any paid contact tool like Contact Out Nightmare or whatsoever. But 80% you can find in IT, at least 80% you can find an email address to an IT person. And we still use an email. You know, email, which IT people usually hate. Like they hate it. And
so on this, just to jump in, the dominance of email or email on LinkedIn is very clear for us as recruiters. So we use it and we typically message in platform, and we assume that response rate of like 0.1% is normal. And we think, oh, that means I should send 1,000 emails or something. But that is not the way to do it. Identifying the person or cross-referencing them on LinkedIn is useful, but the next step is to then ID the email that they use. Have a think. I mean, again, we're just looking at GitHub folks here, which is not, by the way, all of the world's developers, but it is a large percentage of them. If they're using GitHub, generally speaking, they will be using an email that that is active. It will not be a moribund email if they're making a commit, because they actually need to be on this. So that is the source. And then you've got the email, and then I guess it's a cold outreach from there, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, to add on that one. So if you compare, let's say, the email outreach to the LinkedIn invite to the email, right? So these three. Actually, the best reply rate you get from emails, the second best you get from LinkedIn invites, and the worst you get from emails. And I'm training so many recruiters, and I can tell you, you know, like, we still only use email. And, you know, when I show, I have a slide, when I show the difference between LinkedIn Recruiter and regular LinkedIn, right? So if you only use LinkedIn Recruiter, you know, what else you will miss out? And, you know, one of the things is the invite. And many recruiters don't realize the necessity to build a connection with a candidate, you know, to invite them to our network.
Right. So invite is basically just a connection, right? So
it is,
rather than, so I've found this candidate, instead of sending them an email saying, are you interested in this job? What I want to do is to simply connect with them on LinkedIn first. And then worry about having a conversation with them once they've accepted. So if they've accepted, that in itself would be a good signal that they're at least somehow open to a chat. They're entitled to ignore or block, right? So that's all good. But it's a signal of some sort of at least non-hostility, let's say. Let's put the expectation really low. If someone accepts your connection, at least we know that's probably non-hostile. So yeah.
So moving on, you know, like, first challenge, can I find other candidates than on LinkedIn? You know, can I find the contact details to them? This is usually challenge to number two, right? Why? Because we only use LinkedIn data. We only use the LinkedIn emailing system. Challenge number three, do I get a reply? And yeah. I think, you know, ELD's experience was really important on that point as well.
Yeah, because my response rate was around 18.5% on LinkedIn when I just sent emailing. But after that, when I tried this email strategy, it just jumped up for, if I remember well, it's 28%. So it was a huge improve for me.
It's 10% plus.
More so, because it's like if you're sending, you know, 10 emails and you're getting three responses back, that's really good. And Leandro has actually mentioned maybe using InMail as the second messaging option in case the email fails. So maybe InMail is you know, we're hammering on it, but perhaps it's not the best as the first contact. But why not use it as a secondary option? It's almost like your second sword in a battlefield. You know, it's not the first thing you whip out when you're finding somebody, but you lose your first sword, take your second sword out. That's what you got to do. You might as well, you still have it in your pocket, but don't lead with InMail, because basically people are already blasted by it. And it's a signal. I think whenever you get an InMail message, it's such a sales connotation around it. I think straight away people feel very negatively towards it.
You know what is really interesting, that when I had a recruiter, when I was training, there was like an entire organization, not Qualiso, another one. And with the recruiter, we were checking their LinkedIn recruiter account. And we just picked one of the candidates. And you know, we just checked how many times that company, like all of their recruiters, right, were emailing the same candidate. And there was six emails coming from the same company or from multiple recruiters to the same candidate. Like, can you imagine that experience? And I'm not, when I say experience, I'm not a politically correct person. I really think like this is a fucking bad experience. Like, you know, I'm getting six emails from the same company, or this is really bad.
Candidates are not going to forgive that. Like they were, right. They are not going to appreciate your big company. They're just going to think,
you know, why would you? Right. Yeah. Why would you? You know, like you said no, maybe you said no first time, and then you get five more emails. And then think about it, like large organizations, you know, the big companies, like how many emails probably they are sending. You know, so there's another challenge with the email. Now, ELD, can you talk about, you know, your attempts? So when you realized to change the number of attempts, you know, from two to three?
Yeah, actually, I had a test for this as well. And now I measured back, they are responding around 15% for the second email and maybe around 60% for the third one. So it came up, if I just only I sent only just one email, it's not that effective if I send follow-ups as well. And it, just for the your stories, Balázs, because it can happen not just from one company, but I know many people in my project, I already sent them 4 or 5 emails in the last 1 year, and it's just only from me. So yeah, that was the time when I realized I could not reach them on LinkedIn.
On that note, folks, I think we all know that you need to send an email sequence on outreach, right? Because your first message, you can almost assume it's probably going to not actually get a response. Getting 30% is amazing. But the second message is probably the most important. And you need to think about already what the script is if the first message doesn't land. Don't just like forward the old message and say, oh, I'm floating up to the top of your inbox, that kind of stuff. No, you have to appreciate why this person is not ready to speak then, but then present some more information to say, you know what, yeah, here's something or another place where we can talk or whatnot. Give them a reason to do it. There was a report that came out from GEM, which is one of the best, I think, talent relationship management tools out there right now. And they actually tracked the effectiveness of email sequencing. Obviously, you know, their own data, so I'm sure they're promoting their own stuff. But they had some really good data broken down in terms of response rate from the identity of the person getting messaged. So how many, what can you expect if you're messaging a product manager, for instance, versus a senior developer? Really good report. Check out on the Brain Food Larder. I'm going to share that link in a second. By the way, if someone can share Irina's LinkedIn profile, that'd be really good. And also share booleanstrings.com in the chat stream also. Lee Candiotti, quite right. Irina and David have been leading the way in terms of promoting ways in which you can kind of do sourcing. Two people who I must follow, and the bloggers must follow as well. Okay, let's talk about sort of the sort of other techniques, other places to find. We talk about GitHub as the main place for software engineers. Were there any other places that you kind of identified or took time to sort of investigate? I'm going to open this up to everyone here, by the way. So, Ala, if you've got any thoughts on this also, I'd be interested to know, because I think GitHub, we know, generally speaking, we know, even though probably a small percentage of recruiters are in there. But what other places can potentially recruiters get into and, you know, find candidates?
Yeah, I would love to comment on this one. But before I do that, I'm sorry, I need to find out something. If Balazs and Ildi has this experience. So when I also train sourcing teams, what I've noticed when I start selling them outside LinkedIn opportunities, they're very excited. They have so many tools. They're eager to try. But their internal processes are built the way that they have to produce a certain amount of profiles and contact certain amount of people per day, per week. Basically, it forces them to go for the low-hanging fruits or for them, like, you know, to LinkedIn still to find as many profiles as possible. Because I think it's important to create an environment in the company so that people are not stressed to go outside LinkedIn and maybe, you know, insert like a 2 hours per day, you do a Twitter search, then analyze it, tell us what you found, was it effective? Because Twitter is my go-to tool for diversity sourcing. I found the most interesting groups for diversity candidates exactly on Twitter. Or you can go for Slack, join the community and text there. You don't need emails even. You can just reach out to the person. Hey, by the way, we're in the same community. Discord, like you have even dedicated spaces for recruiters to post their jobs there. So, but just like finalizing saying that, did you, Ildi and Balazs, face this resilience, let's say, from the environments in the company?
You know, it's really funny because I don't have any KPI like that, how much profile I found this week or how much messages I send out. My only one KPI is to be in around 2-3 placements in a month average. And to be honest, my lead, I think, very satisfied with my work. So I just pushed myself if I have really time for this. And my leaders was so supportive to try this. So I was the person who said, I don't know if I have enough time for this. It's such funny because it was not from my company or from my leader. Just
I was. You know, it's really.
Go on, Balazs.
No, I just wanted to say a few things. So one is that because, you know, we train a lot of companies, you know, like I've been training recruiters, you know, for 18 years now. So, but in the last 2.5 years, you know, we've been training massively, you know, corporations globally. And what is really interesting that often you get a team of recruiters who are keen to change and to learn and to improve, but their leaders actually didn't understand the lesson. And their leaders actually do not give them time to change. I mean, a change process. So learning process is a change process. And, you know, you need, so learning process is a change process and you need time and support for a change process. Because change process by default, by definition, is difficult, you know, because you have to change the way you work. And that will not happen overnight. So the number one point is that whenever you train your team or you bring them a training, you have to understand that they are going to go through a change process, so you have to give them try. Now, Ala, on your point, yes, and because you give them time to learn and to change, their performance most potentially will fall down. Yes, and there will be shit weeks, you know, weeks when they will not bring the numbers. Why? Because their scope is a little bit turning somewhere else. You know, but you do that for the for good, right? Because you do that for a better performance. But as you go through, so the transition process is usually never productive, never as productive as before and as after. Now that's a really important point, because because, you know, in this experience, you know, Ildi had to go through this transition to understand that she's able to make 28% reply rate from 18. But if she never does this story, and not just the 1 week, but the entire training, if she doesn't participate, she will never understand that one. So,
On that, I think the message here is clear. Is like, essentially, you need to give space for the upskilling of your team. Like, you can't just say, here's a new technique, and then immediately be like super productive. There is a ramp up time before you get there. So as a leader, you want additional capability or capacity in your team, you need to understand that when you put in a new piece of training or there's a new bit of knowledge, you have to give that recruiter, that team of recruiters, the opportunity to get better at it.
Right.
And that means negotiating strongly with the business and making them understand, look, yes, we need to operationally deliver this, but we also need to keep pacing our capability so that we're always keeping ahead of the demand rather than just always be 100% maxed out on current, which means we're doing nothing other than sticking on LinkedIn because it's what we know.
You know, like, you know, you mentioned that we all know that we need to send the cadence, like a sequence. But the truth is that just a handful of recruiters use, you know, send the cadence. I mean, really, usually recruiters, at least who I was talking to, and I was working with really good recruiters, but most of the recruiters feel awkward to send the third email. A second follow-up. They feel okay with a normal follow-up, but they feel awkward, like, it's just too much, too aggressive, you know, like, I'm not that important. If he's not interested, you know, I can move on, whatever. And on that point, you know, to build a cadence, to really sit down and to write 3 email templates, you know, first email, follow-up, follow-up, that takes hours. Like, really hours, because if you want to really build the whole, you know, the whole curve, you know, the all the emotional play, the psychological games, you know, my first email is this, my second email is begging, my third email is like, you know, like a slap on the face. You know, if you want to really build it well, you need time. But usually leaders don't give time for this one. You know, if a leader sees a recruiter just writing an email template, he's like, what the heck are you doing? Like, go back to work. And, you know, that's a big sickness in our whole industry, is that everyone knows that we have to change, we have to improve, and we still don't provide the framework to do that. Now, this experiment was, and I know because we're never close to end, but Ildi, why don't you talk about the end, you know, the end understanding, because the end is important. It's not, you know, the final conclusion is not to not use LinkedIn, but something else.
Yeah, my conclusion was I will work in a hybrid way, and I just think of LinkedIn as a platform and not the platform I have. So now I just paying more attention for that. This is not my only one option. And just one more comment for the third emailing, because it's such funny. My third email is not even about the position, about the opportunity, because I just realized that we all want the same with the developers and recruiters, and this is the feedback, because developers also want feedback if they are messaging us or if they are in a process, and we also want the feedback when we are reaching them. So in my third email, I usually just highlight this, hey guys, I just think we are all think the same, we all need some feedback, so whatever you think now, just drop me a message back. So, and it usually works.
That's a really good technique. Folks, I want you to just I'll restate this, Ildi. So let's say you found a candidate, first email, no reply, second email, no reply, third email. Why don't you just ask for feedback? Because you can try and like add pressure, but what pressure can you apply? You have no leverage, right? So I've had the emails where it gets increasingly aggressive, right? I guess this is the point where it's like, this person is going to be aggressive, therefore I'm going to be replying to this. No. The way to do it is to be very open and say, hey, listen, what are you thinking right now? Please, you know, happy to share the feedback. And I would say that's a really good switch of frame different conversation you might have, the person then doesn't feel as if they need to commit to a job opportunity, but they're just giving you feedback. And the key is you've had some dialogue and you've had to have some sort of connection back. Leandro, I dispute this. I think you see the, I think that's passive aggressive. So I don't like that approach. You know what? I actually, when I get this email, I get this a lot, by the way, that type of response, like, did you not see this email? I just keep clicking, but I never respond. I just want to make sure that they know I've seen it. But yeah, you're not getting anything from me, bro. Go ahead.
It's different from developers. Yeah, yeah. I noticed something very important, as Kate mentioned in the chat, like the leadership is a problem in a way, not people doing the job, the sourcing. There are two aspects of this one. If the company paid for LinkedIn, they're expecting you to use it. And so you kind of need to build the case. That's why you're not using such an expensive tool that your company paid. So it's one. Another one is that... how many of you sourcers are managed by other senior sourcers? So we all have someone else manage us, like TA, just another recruiter, etc. So not every company still has, you know, the leadership for sourcing. This way, we all have different metrics, different expectations, and we explain when we explain why we need to go outside LinkedIn and have more broader tools, etc. So we face this problem that the company is not ready to build the sourcing friendly environment for.
That's right. They've got to commit to it. They've got to commit to it. I just want to deal with a quick question that's coming from LinkedIn from Dij there. I'm not sure if he or she, but Dij has basically said three emails. Is that not spam? Like, at what point does it become spam? I don't have a good response for that. What do you guys think? Like, yes, you need to follow up, but at what point is it too much? Or is it about frequency? Is it about tone? Is it, like, how do we avoid being a spammer? When it is still the case that, yeah, first email may not work, but I think we should be
entitled. Can I answer that way, Hung?
Please.
I've been the person on parties, you know, who went back to the group of people second time and I was already too much. And also I've been the person, you know, other cases when I was in the group, I came back, and I every time I was a pleasure for them. It's not about the number of, you know, follow-ups, is whatever, is that what you write and how and who you are. It's that's it. You know, as
I
long as you are
the same.
Yeah, as long as you are a cute person, then you know, you can even send like six emails, it will work. But if you are a pain in the ass, you know, if you are, well, it doesn't feel good, you know. Okay, sorry, go for it.
No. I think, Dij, just to respond to you, I think it's a personalization, number one. Like, it is actually you as a person, so your voice comes through on the message. I think that's important. If you're just cranking out a mass mail merge and everyone's just, like, piled in and it's D or whoever, then I think that's problematic. If you don't respond, like, sometimes you send a bunch of emails, you get, so they respond to you and you don't respond back to that, that's spam. Because you haven't put into place the mechanism to actually handle the response. So I think it's delicate, but I think it's personality and tone. And I kind of guess sensitivity. You've got to just a bit of art and science on this. Chloe, thank you so much for that. According to HubSpot, it takes 3.2 touch points for someone to engage with a recruiter. I think that's probably true. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're out of time. I want to continue the conversation for at least another 10 minutes. But we also always do this at this kind of juncture. We want to make sure that Brain Food Live is a place where conversation starts, not where conversation stops. So we're all interested in this topic of how do you source outside of LinkedIn. Obviously, we're going to need to do a part two on this. But the way in which we're going to do it now is that we're going to take a moment and just share our LinkedIn profiles into the chat stream, into the comment thread, wherever you are, and then make sure you connect with everyone else that has shared that link. The idea behind this is that ultimately, we're going to get better network intelligence if we do it. Everyone who's looking at and watching and participating in this show right now are recruiters that care about this topic and think about it. Why not connect with them and share more knowledge with them after the show? Continue the conversation when we go off air. It's important for me that we do this because Brain Food Live is a conversation starter, not a conversation stopper. You know, we got to continue it. However, we do get kicked off. so we can't continue. I don't know. Okay, great. This is all happening. Right. Let's move on to some like quick fire tips in this case because I want to kind of go ahead, Barış, go ahead.
Because Ala, you made a really important point, is that, you know, what leaders measure. Like, you know, like, I think, you know, your comment is fair, that many leaders think that if you ask me to buy a LinkedIn recruiter, then, you know, you've got to use this LinkedIn recruiter. That's it. You know, that's, you have to. Otherwise, you know, we are just wasting the money of the company. And because of that, you know, like, there is, and because of the lack of understanding in sourcing, you know, like, many leaders, they start, like, they tend to measure, I think, you know, totally non-relevant points of the process. How many people did you message? How many people, like, just like that, you know, how many messages did you send out? Blank. That's all. How many people did you search today? How many people did you add? You know, it's just random numbers, like, dangling in the air. And most of the leaders don't really oversee the entire story and the entire impact that sourcing has to make at the end of the funnel. And that's why ELD story is important, because honestly, Qualisoft leaders, they said, you know, you use whatever you use, you make two hires at the end of the month. and from that moment, ELD's got the courage to say, but can I be more efficient in my work? That's the important point, right? But you're right. As long as somebody's telling you that every day you have to send out, you know, 150 emails, you won't be able to improve. That's for sure. Because you want to meet those numbers instead of efficiency.
I'm reminded a lot about athletics, you know, not to say I'm particularly athletic or know anything about it. I mean, obviously, obviously not, man. I mean, seriously, I need to get into shape. Basically, you know, like, you just, like, evolve a technique simply because you're doing stuff, right? Like running and things like this. And you have, like, a way to run. But then a coach sees you run and says, you know what, you need to correct this, 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 and this, because you're literally not efficient on this. And then when you try to correct it, you stumble, you're actually slower than you were before, you might get a little bit disappointed. But actually, that is the process of unlearning the bad habits and then relearning the good ones. And that's going to take you to the next level. That's what you've got to do. And I think sourcing is the same, training is the same.
Can we run the experiment? Let's see. Can we ask the crowd, what is their LinkedIn email reply rate? And, you know, no one will be save your answers, so don't be afraid to share. But just the reason why I'm asking, because every recruiter is scared to see their own numbers. No one knows what is good. That's the point. You know, your numbers, your reply rate might be 18% or might be 65%, might be 5%. No one knows whether that number is good or not good, strong or not strong. So, Hung, what is the way to ask the people to share their reply rates? Like,
well, if they know it, just comment on the stream. Like, what do you know your rate? And if so, what's the number?
You don't know, then just write, I don't know, never checked.
Yeah, I can tell you mine is 100%. Because I've sent one email in the last 12 months and that person did actually respond.
But yeah, one thing before exercise, could you please guys put in the brackets also if it's a brand company or there is no brand? Because my observation, I have never seen any response rate higher than 40% for the companies with the big brands and more than 50%, 15%. For the no brands. So that's why I think it could make sense also to look into this, like, you know, if you're in mailing from the company that has a big name and if company has no name.
We are talking about the topic of Brain Food Live next week. Next week's Brain Food Live is, listen, hiring for a no-name brand. Like, what are the techniques to do this?
It was I do my co-host job, so I'm slowly
slowly. My, you're back on that, aren't you? That's super important, because I think a lot of advice we see is often from people. Yeah, it is how I do it at Google. So yeah, great. Wow. Guess what? You have a different set of challenges.
Thank you, Brenda. Wow, yeah, look at that. Brenda has just shared. Yeah, wow.
What did she share? Amazing.
She just shared, you know, her start, you know, from LinkedIn.
The screenshot.
Amazing.
So LinkedIn actually provides you with this, right? Yes. They provide you with LinkedIn updates. That's really cool. I tell you what, Stefania, 47, that's amazing.
Stefania, great job. But if that's Stefania that I know, she's amazing. She's a shark.
That's another show, isn't it? We should do one which says, how do you actually do better in mails? Come on, Irina.
That's for emails. Irina doesn't count.
You know, you're too famous, Irina. You know, it's like it doesn't count. Talking about normal recruiters here. Yeah, it's very interesting.
But what you see, you know, the average around is 20. Mm-hmm. And it's really 20%. Important. That's sort of like what you see in the numbers. And it's really important, you know, like, because that means like, you know, one person out of five will reply to you.
So
it's a waste of sourcing profiles.
Yeah, it's a waste of four people. And always, you know, like, so that's why sourcing, you know, is not just an art and a science, because that's what you have to think. That's what you need to tell your leader. Hey, leader, I want to use something else because, you know, four people from LinkedIn have not yet replied. I need to look them up somewhere else. I need to step out of LinkedIn. You know, maybe my LinkedIn numbers will not be great for the next week, but I will make sure to use my funnel, you know, my pool to make, you know, like to make more hires.
Yeah, yeah. This is a by the way, it's a very good point, because if the manager is looking at LinkedIn dashboards in terms of performance, then that's going to force everyone else to work towards that number. And that's obviously going to basically make your recruiters even more dependent on platform. Listen, folks, we're coming to the end of the show. We have to come to an end here. What I want the panelists to do right now is to think about one place or one link that people can look at that would be useful in terms of like alternative places to source. So can you think of something that you think, you know, here's a good resource? Go and what that is. Go and share it in a chat stream. Everyone else, by the way, who's listened to this, also the same. If you've got something in your mind already that you can say, hey, I use this, this is quite useful, please share it in a thread on the chat stream. If we all do it, there's going to be like a dozen things that we can go check out. So that's going to be super useful. Okay.
Come on, Irina.
Thank you, Irina.
I'm gonna share the Brain Food Larder. There's a category called sourcing. There's about 300 different articles, tools, etc. It's all about sourcing in there. Most of it is not on LinkedIn. So just look at that, and there'll be a bunch of stuff there. Dean DaCosta has got an amazing Start Me on this, doesn't he?
Yes,
that I is a really go and find that, Ala, and stick that into the chat. Folks, keep sharing. We're going to give another 60 seconds of sharing cool links. That's going to help people source outside of LinkedIn. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a bunch of things that will work, that will just help us. I mean, oftentimes, we just need to have some inspiration from new things that could work. Lee Candiotti, Bing, I think absolutely right. It definitely generates different results. You know, don't be afraid to use different search engines because they operate differently. And you know, bear in mind, Google dominates so much. So yeah, excellent. At sourcing on Reddit, I think Erin Matthew has got an amazing page on sourcing on Reddit, didn't she? So somebody should go ahead and share that.
Yeah.
Is that Erin?
I just shared. Yeah.
It is. Amazing. All right, cool. Well, listen.
Someone was very shy. I'm sorry. Just one thing. Balazs, I was sending your amazing tool that you created. So this is saving so much time. The Excel file that's cross-referencing different one. Social media profiles. I shared it already twice. I did it because I see you're not sharing, but it is so important. So basically, if you found the name and you need to cross-reference, that's going to save you tons of time. It finds profiles in everywhere. And I tested it. It's perfect, Balazs. Thank you for doing that for the community.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Go ahead and follow that. That's super useful. Okay, listen, we're going to have to do another follow-up to this because we're nowhere near sort of exhausting this conversation. We're going to keep going. Maybe a part two if Ildi and Balazs want to come and join us again. Would love to do it. But let me let you get on with the rest of your day. I know it's getting late, so enjoy the rest of the weekend. Ildi, well done on the experiment. Great to see you grow in the business. I hope that we get the opportunity to catch up at some point. It'd be wonderful to meet. You have a very good weekend. And Balazs, thanks for joining the show. Great to have you on the show. I'm surprised you're not a more regular guest, actually. We'll have to make sure that happens a bit more.
Thank you so much for inviting. Yeah,
you guys have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers.
One question. Oh. Sorry, guys. We haven't covered the questions in the question area.
Oh,
and we
crap.
Have them. Oh. Sorry. Again, doing my co-host job.
All right. There's only one question worth asking. That's Luis. And we're actually dealing with it. Have you got any, like, How do you source your position you're working on without using LinkedIn? Can you get a few examples? We kind of talked about that.
You know, maybe so, what we can do, you know, like Ely, if you have some time or an interest, I know you have interest, I know you don't have time, but maybe it would be so helpful for the crowd to pick one of your recs and just to walk them through that, how you would use, you know, all the channels and how you would find an email and, you know, what is your cadence and whatever. I know it's a big ask, but that would be so nice to have like a part two of the blog.
I think
just to really show people.
Yeah, that is a part two. Ildi, you've got no choice, you're doing it. that's happening. I think it's a good idea. Like, let's do a live kind of walkthrough. Why not? I'm sure people will tune in for that. Folks, we have to move on. So Ildi, have a very good weekend. Balash, have a very good weekend as well. We'll see you soon.
Thank you
so much for inviting us. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye. Nice weekend. Cheers. Bye.
That was cool, eh?
So many. Yes, it was so short. Times fly.
I know, times fly. Basically, 1 hour is not long enough. Like, I really do want to just keep talking. But there's like literally the thing just like cuts in straight away. So there's nothing we can do. But yeah, folks, I hope you found that useful. We're going to do a part two on this. So if you're interested in following that, follow my channel on LinkedIn or follow me on, I think you got to click a notification on my LinkedIn profile these days. It's like no longer updates you if I'm going live. You've got to just click that bell thing if you see it on my profile. So do that. We'll do another part two with Balash and Ildi and maybe some other folks that want to share sourcing tips. I think people are interested in it. So we're back next week, folks. We're talking how to hire with a no-name brand. This is predominantly going to be about messaging. Like, how do you sell? How do you get beyond this? How do you get beyond the fact no one knows you? You could be back office type business, or you could be just dealing outside of the B2C world. How do you present that opportunity to an in-demand person? We've got a load of cool people in there to help us with that conversation. So, and Ala, you'll be back doing the co-host thing. You're coming as guest, actually. So you can present some proper examples yourself next week.
I will do both. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's about it. Follow the channel, folks. We'll see you kind of next week, I guess. Ala, thank you so much for joining. You've been awesome as always, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to help.
Have a good weekend.
Hi.
Wow. So that's it. Right. Why am I so tired? I'm drinking too much coffee, maybe. Okay, folks. I keep saying, if you click on the Crowdcast, if you're on Crowdcast and you follow the channel, you'll basically be updated every time we go live. Next week will be an awesome show as well. That's about it, folks. Have a good weekend.